Hey there, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Rubberneckin' Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Alicia.
And a very special day. It is Alicia Dean.
It is a special day. Can I tell you why?
Tell me why.
Because today, 45 years ago, September 3rd, 1969, the movie The Trouble with Girls was released in theaters.
The Trouble with Girls and How to Get Into It.
And I guess Elvis got into a little bit of trouble in this movie, didn't he?
With his co-star Marlon Mason, who has been a frequent guest at Elvis Week and birthday events.
She has some good stories.
She sure does. A very salacious story of sorts.
Guess that's why they called it The Trouble with Girls.
This is true. She did create some trouble with girls and Elvis on the set trying to have a little fun. So we're going to take a listen to some interviews both with Marlon and also Charles Briles, who played Amherst in the movie, as they kind of recount their time on the set with Elvis. Let's take a listen.
Everybody has wonderful stories to tell, and they're almost like a singer's greatest hits. But we can't have you here and not talk about that scene, because if you've heard it before, just sit back and picture it. And if you haven't heard it before, do the same thing, because this is like a greatest hit Elvis story.
Okay, that scene, we shot the master, and the director shot my close-up, and then we went in for Elvis's close-up. And Peter Tewksbury, the director, came to me and he said, I want a particular look from Elvis. And I can't remember what that look was, but anyway, he said, I don't care what you do, just get me that look. And I said, okay. So I'll try to reenact this a little bit. Some of you know the story. It never gets old. So I'm sitting in the chair. Elvis is behind me, and he's talking to me, rubbing my shoulders, as you saw, and I turned around, and his zipper's right there. So I started to undo the belt, and we're talking, and we never make eye contact, and we continue the dialogue, and I keep working at the belt, and I get it undone, and now I've got a little button, and I get that little button undone. And then I come to the zipper, and I start to unzip. I think at some point I may have thought, please, Mr. Tewksbury, say cut, but then again, maybe I didn't want him to say cut. But he did. And that was the beauty of Elvis. He never once stopped and said, what is she doing? He was the consummate actor. When he committed himself, he committed. And we got the look that Mr. Tewksbury wanted him to get. But that's my zipper story.
There you go.
Sweetie.
Oh, it's this movie is a lot of fun because Elvis looks fantastic in this movie. Are we looking at Hollywood magic, or was he really that, you know?
He just was gorgeous. I would like to have seen him on a bad day. I don't think he had one. He was stunning. It wasn't just me. He would walk in with that white suit and that hat and that pale blue shirt, and it didn't matter if you saw him every day for 10 weeks in that suit. You stopped and you looked. He was a presence, and he made a difference. He set the tone for the movie.
Yeah.
And it was just 10 weeks of wonderful fun, and I couldn't wait to get to work. And the thing that was amazing, I found that he would come to work on his day off sometimes. And I remember he drove up, we were shooting on the back lot, and he came up in the Continental with all the guys in it. And I said, what are you doing here? It's your day off. I don't know, just want to see what you guys were doing. And I think he needed to be around the business, around the creativity, around the whatever aspects showbiz has.
Yeah.
He needed that. And I think there was something lonely about it to me,
yeah.
that here he had a car full of guys, but there was just a loneliness that I felt in him that, and I understood it because there's nothing, if you're in show business and that's your passion, there's nothing like being on a movie set.
Yeah, and the phrase alone in a crowd comes to mind
yes.
sometimes when I think about him. You said movies are like families. You brought a friend.
Yes.
You brought, tell everybody who you brought. This is a little surprise for you. Tell, who did you bring?
I brought a friend. If you remember in the film, there are the four college boys, Amherst, Princeton, Harvard, and Yale. Well, I brought Amherst, Charles Briles. Charles, are you back there? He's got a lot of Elvis stories.
There he is.
We haven't...
Nice to meet you.
Oh, this... Oh, you haven't met?
We have not...
Would you
I've
like
been
him?
Out here. No, no, you're right there.
I got to hold this, right?
We haven't seen each other in 44 years. So we were just young babes. But he has some... He has a slew of stories.
Am I on?
You're
on.
I'm on.
Okay.
Well, you're at the right place to tell some Elvis stories. We'd love to hear what you got.
As a child, I was taught how to play the accordion. I say that loosely,
mm-hmm.
taught, you know. So my right hand kind of knows a keyboard. My left hand knows buttons. I still don't know what they did, but, you know. So after lunch, we always had a piano on the stage,
always,
that upright piano.
We always had
so
a
I
piano.
Sit down. There was nobody else there. No one. And I'm trying to work out Love Me Tender by sound. Love me tender, you know, what notes and all that. Next thing I know, Elvis is standing behind me. He said, what in the world are you trying to do? I said, I'm trying to play Love Me Tender. He said, well, what's wrong with your left hand? I said, well, I played the accordion. I had a little, it doesn't work. He said, let's get over. So he sat down. He said, first of all, you're in the wrong key. You're in the wrong place. Give me that hand. So he's moving my hand over. He said, that's where it's got to be. Now, okay, I'm over. No, let me put my hand on this side. Okay. So he said, now follow my right hand. So love me. No, I said, follow my right hand. Oh, okay. So we messed with that, and pretty soon everybody started coming back from lunch. Well, they're crowding around because, you know, there's Elvis sitting at the piano, and we're trying to get through Love Me Tender, right? Well, we finally got finished, and Elvis stood up. He looked at me. He said, son, it's a good thing you can act because you sure can't sing.
That was fascinating. Can you believe she did that to Elvis?
I can't believe. I guess she's told that story multiple times.
Yeah, I've heard it in person. It gets a little dirtier when she's not on stage. But
I mean,
it's
fun. So funny. But I mean, what a funny memory to have of, I mean, Elvis was a character. We know he liked to mess around and
he
just
sure
kind of be a big kid. So.
Well, he liked to mess around, but she was messing with him.
She was.
And he wouldn't let her win.
Well, and they also talked about, I remember during that Elvis week, they talked about, you know, was Elvis really that good looking in the movies, or was it like Hollywood magic? And she was like, no, like this is how good Elvis looked all the time. Never saw him on a bad day.
Never had a bad day.
Y'all are ruining my podcast.
I had a bad day and just hit the microphone stand. But that is the beauty of live podcast to tape. So there you have it. But I mean, such fascinating stories. And of course, you went ahead and watched the movie last night. And did you love it as you always have?
I did love it. I did. I mean, there's obviously Elvis did a lot of movies. And this is just another one that really kind of brought out his personality a little bit more than maybe some of the more serious roles.
What I loved about this movie is kind of Elvis in that white suit. You know, it's not if I can dream, but it's just like it's kind of like this, you know, fun little almost period piece of sorts.
And Elvis was very fashionable even in the movie.
He certainly was. So what a great movie. Happy 45th anniversary, The Trouble with Girls. Congrats to both Elvis and Marlon for making yet another fantastic film. And that is it for this edition of the Rubberneckin' Podcast. We'll see you next time.